Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus. It's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Hey, Mike Kapler here with Joel Brzezinski. Stick around once again. At the end of the program, we'll share how you can sign up for Joel's online yodeling class. You won't want to miss it.
Yeah, no sneak peeks. Sorry. I know you were trying to get me to do that.
Wait till the end of the shoe.
The end of the shoe.
Joel, before we get into talking more about the will of God from last week's program, you've heard that that game, for lack of a better word, he loves me, he loves me not.
Oh yeah,
he loves me. You peel petals off a flower.
Yeah.
He loves me, he loves me not. She loves me, she loves me not.
I also did that with an apple and the stem. Turn it once. She loves me, she loves me not. You do it with the stem. Then when it breaks off, same thing.
Yeah. Not as good, though.
Well, I don't like eating an apple where the stem is still on it. I don't know why. So I always twist it off. But I don't do the she loves me not thing anymore.
Well, the whole thing started in French culture. It was originally known as Affluer la Marguerite. I have no idea if that's how you pronounce it.
Affluer.
I know nothing about French other than fries and toast.
La France.
Anyway, I think there are probably a lot of Christians out there who have been playing that game, the church game of God loves me, God loves me not. Mm-hmm. I look back on it in my life and I start to think, yeah, I think spiritually speaking, I was playing that game. I didn't know for sure how much God loved me or if he did.
Right.
I mean, you know, we talked about it. We said God loves us. We used the catchphrases and the talking points and quoted the verses. But deep down, a lot of us were really wondering, does he really love me? Have I made him mad? Am I doing this thing good enough? And has that affected his love for me? Has it affected his will for me? And so what we talked about last week, Joel, I think maybe one thing I would like to try to encourage people with based on what we spoke about last week is being at rest. it's hard to be at rest and at peace with God if you're constantly wondering if you're in his will. So as a person, as a believer in Christ, who has inherited the righteousness of God in him, his righteousness in us, as a new creation, as an individual identified in this way, as a child who has inherited, it's really difficult, I think, to understand the peace that we have with God if you're constantly worried and wondering or fearful as to whether you are in his will or not. So yeah. I would just say, again, bigger picture here, you are in his will as a person who is in Christ. Christ is God's will for you. What do you say to that?
I think that's it. We're done for this week.
We got it. Yodeling class, and then we'll finish.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to do it. I think that is true. I saw some reel on Facebook. I can't remember what it was, but people were saying, were asking, do you know where you're going when you die? Do you know? Well, no, I can't know. And somebody was reading off a lot of really good passages from the New Testament scriptures that show that we can know. We can be certain. We can know. And that is God who has made it so that we can know. He made it so that we can know. We don't have to be wondering. We don't have to guess. We don't have to say, well, I've messed up this many times and I've only done so many good works. Or we don't have to worry about, God wanted me to do this. It was God's will for me to do this, this, and this, and I didn't do it. Or I did all these other things that weren't God's will. And so I just don't know, you know, I don't think he's going to accept me. But he has made it known to us the exact process, the exact way that it is that we can be with him forever. And that is through not what we do, not through anything that we do, not by listening to God every day and making sure that we are in 100% alignment with everything that he tells us to do, so, you know, so to speak. It's the sacrifice of Jesus, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. That's what has made everything possible, having nothing to do with anything that we do. God had a will, you know, as we were talking about, and that will was for people to be in Christ. And the way for people to be in Christ is by grace through faith and through nothing that we do. He made it possible for us to be sure. He called it a surety. The writer of Hebrews, we have this surety. We have this certain thing. We have this guarantee as your book, the grace guarantee, you know, talks about. He has made it possible for us to know these things without worrying about what we do day to day. It's important what we do in our day-to-day lives. We don't want to, you know, say that the things that we do are not important. We've talked about many times there are consequences to the things we do. We have choices, as we talked about last week. We can make choices for the good or for the bad. Those are important things, but they don't determine our eternal destination, and they don't determine where we stand right now with God. We are in him. That is God's will for us. That has been fulfilled. That is a settled issue. Right now, you have eternal life. You don't have temporary life, and then you forfeit that if you don't follow along with a certain amount of steps. You have eternal life because you are in Christ Jesus, period. And now we get up daily with our lives. We are in him, and we use that as our motivation, knowing that we're in him, knowing that he is with us, never leaves us, forsakes us, and that he has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness right here and right now. And we can walk in that, and we're free every single minute of the day to make all kinds of different choices, knowing that no matter what choice we make, we are in his will, and knowing that he empowers us in our daily walk.
Yeah, and when it comes to, like, I mean, there are, you know, choices that you can make, as we've been talking about in recent weeks, that may not be good choices. They may be sinful choices. They may be, you know, temptations that you've given into. But then there's a let's go down a different road here. There are decisions to make sometimes. And sometimes you just have to make the decision.
Right.
Okay? I mean, I almost hesitate to even list some suggested possible decisions you might have to make in the course of a given day. It might be anything from which route am I going to take to work, or it might be, am I going to change my career choice? Am I going to, you know, it's just a whole bunch of different things. There are decisions to make throughout the day. Now, there may be times where you're seeking some guidance from God. Nothing wrong with that. Joel, in my own life, I feel fortunate. I don't know sometimes about the things I've missed out on, but I feel fortunate sometimes because I feel like, first of all, I escaped that prison where I don't sit around wondering if I'm in the will of God, because I believe I am in the will of God. And when it comes to these decisions and different choices that we make throughout life, throughout a given day, throughout our life, there have been times where I didn't know what to do or where to go. And God just somehow intervened in some circumstances anyway, and orchestrated some things that were just, I can't attribute them to anything other than, let's put it this way. I can't say that it was because I made a great decision in many cases. It's just that I can't attribute it. In some cases, I can't attribute it to anything other than God orchestrating something. I mean, even when, you know, you and I met doing radio broadcasting. Mm-hmm. Well, that whole thing started for me almost 10 years before I met you.
Right.
And I just happened to be going, I'd always wanted to do radio ever since I was a young teenager. And so I ended up going to a church. And when I walked in the door, they had this diagram. It was a relatively new, younger, smaller church, but they had this vision, if I can use that word, this plan. And part of that included launching a radio station, a Christian radio station. And so they had this diagram of the new building and the radio ministry and all that. And I just, something hit me inside, like, whoa, this is how I came here. And to even have walked in that door, I heard about the church from somebody who just casually mentioned it in their living room. They just said, oh, I'd like to, even though they were tied to a denominational church and very committed to it, they sort of said, well, I'd be interested in going to so-and-so's church. Well, something just rang within me, you know, one of those things where what? I didn't know anything about it, but something inside triggered. And I ended up there, ended up getting involved in the radio that they did start up. There were a lot of challenges with that. It eventually shut down for a couple years, and then we brought it back. And right around that time, you came up and visited the building. And then here we are doing this podcast years later because of all those little things that just kind of happened, you know. Yeah. And even in other aspects of my career choices and job life, there were some hills and valleys for sure, but then just something would happen along the way where it just felt like it was almost like sometimes I didn't know what to do, and somehow God would just push me along,
right?
Mm-hmm. or something would happen that I would end up talking to somebody, and then something good would come out of it. And so I just want to encourage people, I guess, Joel, out there in that this thing about the will of God, please don't get nervous and worried and fearful about it, because that's, you know, it's because of faith that we have peace with God. So don't let that get in the way of the reality that you do have peace with God, because that kind of stuff can make you feel like you don't. And then you start wondering, well, am I in the will of God? Am I under his umbrella of protection? You wonder all kinds of different things that church people might, you know, try to dump on you. Before I turn this back to you, Joel, I was in Hebrews 10 last week. I'm in Hebrews 9 here. You mentioned Hebrews 7 with the grace guarantee, Jesus, the surety. They say this. I'm reading from a more modernized translation that I don't read very often, but I think it kind of brings out the point here. The writer of Hebrews in 9:15 says, I'm picking up in the middle of what he's talking about, but that is why he is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people, so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God has promised them. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of sins that they had committed under that first covenant. Now, verse 16, when someone leaves a will, it is necessary to prove that the person who made it is dead. The will goes into effect only after the person's death. While the person who made it is still alive, the will cannot be put into effect. Of course, this is an illustration of the death of Jesus. And I will mention, I looked specifically for this translation because it uses the word will. But in the Greek, in English Bible, sometimes the word will is translated as testament. Sometimes it's covenant. Here, it's translated as will. They're kind of interchangeable that way. But the will here, the bigger will, you know, my dad left a will. Now, I'm sure there were little things in life before he died, Joel, that he wished for me, that he willed for me, that he hoped for me. But there was this overarching legal will that, you know, kind of laid things out as to what he wanted to have happen and who would get what and all that kind of stuff that's involved in a legal will. And he left that for things to be distributed and so forth. So the will of God is Jesus Christ. He is the covenant. Okay.
Yes.
The new covenant, you know, sometimes I use the phrase new covenant writings. I'm really just referring to people who are writing to their church friends like Paul and others after the resurrection, after the new covenant was applied and the old covenant was put aside. But the new covenant is not a set of writings. It's not the New Testament. It's something else. It's not made of the letter like the law was. And so the will of God was for Jesus to die. One final sacrifice to wipe out the sacrifices he never really wanted in the first place, as we mentioned last week. And so with this in mind, be thinking in the terms of the bigger picture. You are in the will of God. You never have to worry about that. You have the Holy Spirit in you who desires to comfort, right? Comfort, to lead, to guide, to remind us of the truth that is found in Jesus. And he cares about the little things in your life. Don't get me wrong, as I was just trying to explain in my own life. But I think that it's important for you to not get shook up with every little thing as to whether you're in God's will or not. You can be at peace and know that you are in God's will, the will of God being Christ. And now that God, the Spirit, lives in you, he can help along the way with all the other little things that come along.
Yeah, that's a lot of good stuff there. And that word will is such a big part of this life in Christ, you know, that it was God's will. That word diatheke, the Latin transliteration of the Greek word diatheke, I like it because it has the same last three letters as my last name, EKE, but that's beside the point. but it means, you know, it can be translated as will, as covenant, or as testament. And I know that there are some King James only people. There are some people who think there's something different between when it says covenant and when it says testament. But really, it's all the same. It's the same word, and it means a disposition, arrangement of any sort which one wishes to be valid. The last disposition with which one makes of his earthly possessions after his death, a testament or will. Or a compact, a covenant, a testament. That's what it means. And so that's what was God's will, God's testament. The testator had to die. Jesus died. And the new testament, the new covenant, the new will went into effect. That's when God's will went into effect, with the death of Jesus, the testator. You know, God had made this will. That's when it went into effect. And so we are the heirs. We're the ones who are the heirs of everything that God willed. And again, it's not by anything that we've done. It's not by works. It's by his grace. And the thing about it is that, yeah, in this life, we do have many decisions and choices to make. Just real quickly, I'll share something that I went through as well. And I suppose, I would imagine our listeners have lots to share too with the various things that they've been through. You mentioned this podcast and our time in radio, just the fact that we're doing this. I believe that this is God's will. I believe that God orchestrated the things that you went through, Cap, and the things that I went through to get us to this place. And now 21 years later, we're still doing it. I look back and you know, sometimes when we're doing it, I don't sense to myself, oh, this is God's will. I'm going to get up and we're going to record today and we're going to do God's will. I don't think of it like that, but I look back and so many times I've just seen the things that he has done with this podcast, and I believe that he orchestrated because he wanted it to happen. And the way that I got into radio was really a lot different than the way that you got into radio. I, as an introvert, the year before, so 1994 was when I started, and in 1993, I had made a list of things that maybe I could do with my life to, you know, help people to quote, be in God's will. You know, naively, I wrote behind the scenes at a TV or radio station. That was one thing. Maybe a park ranger, maybe some sort of a coffee house operator, or I can't remember what it was, Christian bookstore, coffee house thing. But it was all stuff where, to me, it was introverted stuff where I would do things behind the scenes, never in front of a microphone or a camera. And then the very next year, through a series of events, I've talked about this before, real quickly, a friend moved down to Kansas City, and I visited him and some friends of his. He couldn't have ever gone to this school that he wanted to go to in Kansas City if he had not come up with a certain amount of money. On the very last day where he had to make a decision, somebody gave him the money that he needed. So if he wouldn't have gone and moved down to Kansas City from Iowa here, and if I wouldn't have gone to visit him and visit these friends, I visited these friends. We went to a Kansas City Royals game. On the way, they said, there's no radio here for kids that's geared toward kids. And so I said, well, I know this radio station up in Waterloo, Iowa, where I'm from. I'll go talk to them, see if they can give us any information. I went up to the radio station just to get some information. And out of that, you know, he said to me, we're looking for a couple volunteer DJs. And within myself, I laughed. That's not me. I cannot do that. I do not want to be
kind of like Sarah. Sarah laughed too.
Yeah, Sarah laughed. I mean, probably this pretty similar. And I did not inside me, no. But as I left, and then for the next few days, that would not leave me. There was this pull in my heart, and I'm like, no, I'm not a DJ. I'm not the type of person who can talk on the air, anything like that. But I felt like God kept impressing it upon my heart. And I went back, I talked to you, and pretty soon we had arranged for me to train. And the rest there is history. But I could have, during those days where I was wrestling with this inside, I could have said no. I could have just said, no, that's not me. I had that choice. But inside me, I felt like it wasn't like I would be condemned if I didn't. I just felt like that this is something that God is leading me to do. And so I went there and did that. And then, like I said, the rest is history. I met you. We started talking about God's grace. And then about 10 years after that, you know, we started the podcast.
And even that wasn't our idea.
Right. Because even that, I was on an online grace forum, and somebody had noticed, my friend Dave Lesniak had noticed that I was, before I knew him, he looked at the things that I was writing there, and he thought, would you like to be part of this online radio station that I'm running? And again, at that point, I was like, that's not me. I don't feel like I could do like a talk show, or because it wasn't a podcast at that time. And so I reached out to you, and we agreed that we would do it together. And it was going to be a 14-minute thing. So for many years, it was a 14-minute podcast, and we've since kind of broken that rule, which is good. But all of that to say that God orchestrates things. You are free to say yes, to say no. Just imagine if one of us had said no to this thing. God can still do what he wants to do. I mean, he can still get the gospel out there. He can still use you and me. He can use anyone that's listening to do what he wants to do. But we get the joy of being in his will because we're in him, and then working together with him, so to speak, walking with him in the things that he wants to do. I think that's really what it's about. It's freedom. It's about freedom. It's not about you have to do this or else. God works together with us. He's at work in us to will and to do according to his good pleasure. And it's his good pleasure to use us to do good things in us like this. And so it's not something that we have to worry and fret about, but something that we have freedom in.
Yeah, and I just to add to that, Joel, I think sometimes you have desires, and God wants to help you with the desires of your heart. They might be good things. You know, how our podcast came together might be quite different. Somebody right
exactly.
now, because podcasts have been around for a while now, not so much when we started. And you just heard the story of a whole bunch of different things that had to happen over many years for us to get to start doing a podcast. You could sit there right now and say, I think I'd like to do a podcast. And you could just do it.
Yes.
So sometimes things will be orchestrated in different ways, sometimes perhaps even supernaturally. And then there are those times where you just simply have a desire to do something. And all you really have to do is just, you know, bring God along for the ride, or let him do it and you can go along for the ride.
Right, yeah. Yep.
So I hope the program here has been an encouragement for you. God wants to do so much through you. He began the good work in you. He is faithful to complete it, whatever that is. It may not be anything like what your church friends think it should be.
Right.
Okay. So just keep that in mind and then just go with God.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.